It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio from Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's March 10th and March 11th, depending on when you're listening to this. Already into March, want to put out a big shout out to my running friends. Last weekend, there were three races on March 3rd. There was the Winter Wild race at Gunstock at 7 a.m., and then at 9 a.m., we had the Heartbreak Hill race, a fundraiser put on by Beth Conley to raise money for Dana-Farber. That was at 9 a.m., and then at 11 a.m., we had a run right across the bridge at the NHTI campus, raising money for NHTI cross country. So all three of those races were successful. I did the triple, a lot of people did the double, and it was just a lot of fun. I'm running slower than ever, but I have a lot of fun doing it. Today, March 10th and March 11th, depending on when you're listening to this, we have the continuation of the Winter Wild series, Waterville Valley on March 10th, and Ragged Mountain, which was a rescheduled event. One of the earlier races was canceled due to the cold. We'll be running on Sunday, March 11th. Want to put a big shout out to Bob Huff. Last weekend, we had a great show on the museum at the Manchester Airport. People may not know, we actually have a New Hampshire Aviation Museum, and he did a great job of explaining those various events that happen right in our midst, right at Manchester Airport. And we discovered that by actually the connection that the Aviation Museum has with the Discovery Center, one of our other corporate partners. With me today is a longtime guest, longtime fellow colleague of mine, Dr. Shannon Mills at Northeast Delta Dental / Previsor. You've heard me say many times that Northeast Delta Dental acquired the Previsor software company, and Shannon rotated and moved into that company as VP of strategy. So Shannon, thank you for joining me this weekend, March 10th and 11th. I know you're a busy man, so thank you for coming on board, as usual.
Well, always fun, Tom. I always love being here.
Now, you're a world traveler, right? Every time I talk to you, you're doing sometimes for business, sometimes visiting one of your sons, and you've been all over the place. So what we want to talk about today is how to avoid dental emergency traps when we're traveling. So tell us, first of all, your background as well as what OSAP is, which you'll be referring to.
Okay, well, as you know, Tom, and I know you know this well, maybe some of our listeners do too, I spent a good portion of my career in dentistry in the Air Force. And as a consequence of that, I got to travel overseas, live overseas. And one of the things that we did in the Air Force, of course, was make sure that our military personnel could do their jobs without having a toothache interfere with it, even when they were, you know, in foreign countries and maybe far away from a dentist. So spent a lot of time figuring out how to make that happen. So as a consequence, I work with an organization called the Organization for Safety, Organization for Safety, Asepsis, and Prevention, which focuses on infection control and safety in the dental office. Very congruent sets there. I developed for them, with some help from folks at the CDC, a guide for travelers. If you're going to be traveling, how to avoid, first of all, having a problem, and if you do, how to address it. And maybe a little bit even, too, about dental tourism.
Well, let's pause there for a second, and why don't you explain what dental tourism is?
Well, there's an increasing trend as medical and dental tourism, that is that people are choosing to go to other parts of the world where medical or dental care may be less expensive than in the United States, and then combining that with tourism. Say, for example, there are dentists down in, say, Cancun. I've lectured to a group of them down there who do pretty high-end dentistry, and people combine that with, going down for a beach vacation. It's not my idea of a vacation, but for some folks it seems to make sense. And so it's becoming a more popular thing, and there are certain countries around the world that that are these combination destinations.
Great. Okay, so I'm thinking ahead to a vacation, and not sure what state of condition my teeth are in. So what are some of the things that I should be doing in advance so my trip isn't ruined by a toothache?
Yeah, that's one of the last things you want to have happen. And We know it does to some folks. The best thing to do is just make sure that you're that you've had a checkup and dentist says you're in good shape. Now, if you're just going away for the weekend, that's one thing. But people do take extended vacations where they may go to countries that where dentistry may not be at the same standards as it is in the U.S. Now, when I say that, you can probably get good dentistry anywhere in the world. But the education standards in some of these countries and what we call accreditation, where they're reviewed by a accrediting body, in this case, the American Dental Association, they may not be up to the same standards. So, you know, it can be a little more chancy that going to a dental office might not be as safe. That is in terms of getting, you know, an infection as they might be here. So for that reason, being really well when you go, not having a problem that's likely to blow up. I mean, examples would be don't go if you have a broken filling, you have a loose crown. Don't go if you have a root canal that either needs to be done or hasn't been completed. You don't want to go, especially for an extended vacation, especially out of the country, if those things are sitting there, because each of them can be a little, you know, walking, let's just call it a time bomb. They can blow up and probably at the worst time imaginable. That's unfortunately just the luck of things.
So it makes a lot of sense to take care of these problems before leaving home. And also, you also potentially have the insurance issue of maybe the coverage isn't as good if you're doing it overseas, correct?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're fortunate, Tom, that, you know, the Delta Dental will cover you, that we do get foreign claim submissions. But nevertheless, it's more complicated. It's not as easy as going to your dentist here in New Hampshire, for sure.
Great. Well, let's switch gears and let's talk about vaccinations and hepatitis B, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, you know, our kids all today are all vaccinated against hepatitis B, but some of us as adults are not. And again, this would be a situation where if you're going to be, by the way, this is a liver disease. That's a liver virus. It's usually transmitted by exposure to blood. So what happens is that it has been transmitted in dental offices here in the U.S. before we had general adoption of better infection control standards and the use of gloves.
So when you say that our children already have that vaccination, but maybe we don't, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, hepatitis B is now one of the usual childhood vaccinations. And most kids do get it as part of their regime of measles and mumps, rubella, et cetera now, which is a good thing because the younger you are when you get the vaccine, the more likely it is to be effective. Sometimes in older individuals, it isn't a take.
So as I think to all the things that you're involved with, and after a commercial break, you know, we'll talk about a little bit more about, you know, travel overseas. One of the things that I'd like you to talk about is your role at Provisor and what Provisor is all about. When I mention Provisor, sometimes I refer to it as Health Rural Wellness, but for the listening audience, you've heard this enough. Provisor is what powers Health Rural Wellness. So you came up with Health Rural Wellness. You also gave our corporation the idea of perhaps acquiring Provisor, you know, which we did. So you've seen your vision come to fruition. So tell us about some of your activities.
Okay, well, one of the main things I'm tasked with doing is reaching out to various stakeholders in the profession, including other dental insurance companies that we think would benefit from building a program like Health Through Oral Wellness that's more responsive to the needs of patients and also helps dentists provide, you know, information that better explains the care people need. So one of the things I've been doing is reaching out to these other companies and trying to get them to consider adopting a program using Provisor technology, which, by the way, is you know, it's a tool your dentist can use at chairside. It takes about 3 minutes and generates a numerical score that tells us about your tooth decay and gum disease risk, and also measures the current severity of whatever disease a person might have, or preferably health, if that's possible, and that is. And that gives us a better guide, you know, better vision of what care needs to be provided, and certainly helps people understand what they need to do at home in terms of things like diet, in terms of regular brushing, flossing, and those sorts of things.
And it's pretty much as easy as what I'm about to describe. So I went to get, I had my cleaning or prophy just the other day. My score was, the hygienist went through this 3 to 5 minute process that Dr. Mills alluded to. My score was 3. Right there and then, or when the cleaning was done, she applied the adult fluoride varnish and scheduled me for my my third cleaning in the calendar year. So tell us, give us that quick story how, while certainly going to your dentist twice a year and 2 cleanings a year is a good proxy, but it's not really based on evidence, how that all came about and how Previsor really more or less can customize it. So those of us that need 3 or 4 can actually get 3 or 4 cleanings.
Well, you know, if you walk out on the street and you ask people how many times to see your dentist, almost everybody knows that's twice a year. They may not know the name of the vice president, but they know you see your dentist twice a year. So the reason for that, I think, is one of the most effective advertising campaigns in history. And it was a toothpaste we don't see much anymore, Pepsodent, had ran ads on popular radio shows back in the 1920s. So in 1929 or so, they said, see your dentist twice a year and use Pepsodent twice a day. Well, this isn't a bad thing. Seeing your dentist twice a year is not a bad thing, but for some people, it's not enough. And but most dental benefit plans are based on the idea of seeing your dentist twice a year. Again, not based in science, but you know, it's worked all these years, but we need to be able to be more flexible. And so that's one of the reasons we developed the HOW program, to make sure that people who had greater needs had benefits that matched them, and did it on the basis of real information collected at chairside from the patient. You know, not that we don't trust people's opinions, but it's really hard to build a insurance product on someone's opinion. You need to have evidence.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with the world-acclaimed Dr. Shannon Mills, Concord resident, and has been with the Northeast Delta Dental Enterprise for over a decade. Great guy, very involved in the community. And speaking of being involved with the community, tonight, March 10th, is Superfest, and that'll be held at Runlet, and that is to support the Coalition to End Homelessness in Concord. And we have had that coalition on shows. Ken Kale show, I subbed for Ken yesterday, and the thing about the homelessness in the Concord area is definitely we can get our hands around it, and so the Concord Coalition really needs events like the Superfest to you know, raise some funds and to get the awareness out there. But it's pretty exciting to know that we can get our hands around this problem in Concord. And as Dr. Mills, my guest today, knows, I mean, all of this stuff is related: homelessness, food insecurity, you know, oral health issues, you know, mental health issues, opioid issues. It's all kind of related. So those of you that, if you haven't bought a ticket, just you can actually show up at Runlet this evening, and you can buy a ticket to Supervest. And again, for my running friends, I mentioned before the break, this weekend's racing consists of Waterville Valley and Ragged Saturday and Sunday. So back to Dr. Mills. So let's get back into the travel mode, and let's talk about some tips as well as root canals and wisdom teeth.
Okay. Well, two of the problems that can arise, and again, I come to this experience from my military background, but also my wife was formerly the medical post, what they call the post-service manager at Peace Corps, so she saw these same problems. So the things that often come up: person's had a root canal started, and for what reason or another, they didn't go back and get it finished. But one of the things that can happen, and it may have happened to some of you out there in the audience, and I've seen it, is that you get up to altitude in that airplane, and they go to cabin pressure at 10,000 feet, and the air inside that empty space in that root canal can cause excruciating pain. So if you do have a root canal that's not finished, maybe you're, you know, waiting for it to be done in the schedule, try to get it finished before you go. And if you can't, make sure the dentist fills that empty cavity with some kind of a paste to get rid of the air, so then they can easily get out later. That's a quick tip.
So if you were in the air and that happened, you had this pain, there's really nothing much you can do about it at that point, right?
Not much I can do. I was with a colleague in the Air Force and took off out of Hawaii, headed for Guam, and she was in pain for almost the entire trip until we got there, so I've actually seen it firsthand right in my seatmate.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow, that was a
painful, there's one little tip might be helpful.
How about a tip with regard to wisdom teeth?
Well, you know, wisdom teeth, you know, are things a lot of people have routinely taken out, and I won't get into the debate about how, you know, how necessary that always is, but people who have partially erupted, that is especially lower wisdom teeth that are partly in, one of the most common problems we saw in young airmen when I was in the Air Force who were, you know, deployed or, you know, otherwise in difficult situations, that they develop a condition where that flap of gum tissue back there would get infected. And it's got a 50-cent word name. It's called pericoronitis, but basically it's a wisdom tooth problem. Now, you know, the teeth are all the way in or they're all the way still in the bone, probably not going to cause an emergency, but these things sometimes can really flare up. So again, going away for this is more probably mostly for young people, but going away for a protracted period of time, you know, you may want to have that looked at. And first aid for that, maybe it will work, maybe it won't, is of course to get some salt water and just rinse the area really, really well and try to keep it clean. But it can be very painful. And when they get infected, they can actually spread into the jaw muscles and make it hard, you know, hard to open, or they can even get in into the spaces in your neck. So it's not something you want to just let go. And if you're having off and on problems with it, probably best to see your dentist and have it looked at and maybe have those wisdom teeth taken out.
Done the trip. You're in the plane. You've landed. Now you have a dental issue, and you're not sure of the quality of the dental offices where in a particular country that you're in. What are some of, I know that your organization that you referenced, OSAP, the Organization for Safety, Sepsis and Prevention Foundation, presents some guidelines for obtaining safe dental care for international travelers. Tell us about some of those.
Okay. Well, one of the things you want to do is, if first of all, you need to find a referral to a dentist. Two obvious things. If you're staying at, for example, in a U.S.-based or European, you know, hotel chain, it could be that the staff there, the concierge or other people there, could guide you to a dentist, because the staff there, which are usually expatriates, they probably have a dentist they go to and that they trust and are have some sense that they're safe. Another obvious thing is to contact the embassy, because they don't have dental dentists assigned to American embassies around the world. So typically they'll have a dentist that they go to. But if you're not able to do that, there's some really obvious things you want to look for. First of all, is the place clean? Is it clean and neat? Is it well-stocked? Does the equipment look, you know, at least moderately new? That's not a guarantee, but it's better. Do they have a sterilizer? Because in some parts of the world, they're still using chemicals to disinfect instruments. You want to make sure that the instruments that are used on you, particularly surgical instruments, have been heat sterilized in a steam sterilizer. You know, are they wearing gloves and washing their hands between patients? I don't think this is happening much in the world anymore, but you still run the slight risk of somebody reusing needles. And sadly, it's actually happened in this country, but that's not often. And then the water that's used, if they're going to do a surgical procedure on you, they should be using sterile water to irrigate, or they should be using water at least that's been boiled. So these are just some things. You know, are they using barriers? Are they covering the handles and all that they touch, like the light covers and so forth? Those will be all things that you'd look for. They're the same things you would probably look for if you were seeing a dentist right here in the United States, but you'd want it to look at least familiar. So, again, good dentistry available everywhere in the world, but because the standards may differ, you know, it's not as great a guarantee as it is here.
Now, if you're in a country where the drinking water may be known to be unsafe, what are some of the extra precautions you can take?
Thanks for asking, Tom, because it's one of my favorite areas of interest. Dental equipment can become contaminated with bacteria during use, and that's true, again, everywhere. And if you're in a country where the water is not safe to drink and they're using tap water, running it through their dental equipment, you can guess the water coming out of their handpieces and air water syringes and ultrasonic scalers isn't going to be safe either. So you want to make sure, you want to ask that. How are they treating their water? Are they treating their water? And that's also a question that you may want to ask your dentist here in the U.S.
So now my favorite part of our show, Shannon, is the lightning round. Manual toothbrush or electric toothbrush?
Personal choice. But if you have challenges at all, electric toothbrushes can really help a lot of people do a better job. In my house, one person in my house uses manual, the other person uses electric. Both keep our teeth pretty clean, but, you know, it's personal choice. But talk to your dentist and your hygienist particularly, because they'll tell you how well you're doing And I think they can definitely make some good recommendations for you.
Okay, so we know flossing is also important, I think, right?
And, yep, sure is.
So there's floss on the string and floss on a stick. Again, I think the answer is probably the same answer as the first one, but what do you think?
I think it's whichever one works for you. I still have my wisdom teeth, so I got some kind of reach back pretty far to get to them. So I use a flossing aid. Not that I can't do it with my fingers, but I think for a lot of people, getting some kind of a device to help you reach into those back areas isn't a bad thing at all. Get your hygienist again to show you how to use one or recommend which one they like best.
I know it's helped me. I've become a much better flosser since the floss on the stick, and they have the floss kind of looks like a shape of a horseshoe.
Yep, that's the one I use, Tom.
I've become much better at that. Okay, so we go into any local supermarket or any local drugstore, and we see a myriad, a plethora of different toothbrushes. Toothbrushes too, but also toothpaste.
Right.
Any particular one?
Well, let me start off with the old thing we always have to remind people. A hard bristle brush isn't good for your teeth. You get better cleaning, actually, with that soft, gentle bristle brush. So always look for the soft in any toothbrush you buy. And make sure you get one that's the right size for you. What a lot of people do is they buy one that's too big to reach back into the back areas. So sometimes you need to buy a smaller brush to reach up there on the backs, especially those upper molars. Toothpaste, again, fluoride is the key ingredient. If it's got fluoride, it's going to help prevent tooth decay. If it doesn't have fluoride, it can't do that. Simple enough.
So look for the fluoride.
Right. And then the other things that it may offer, toothpaste are available that can help desensitize teeth if you've got cold or sensitivity or sweet sensitivity due to exposed, root surfaces. There's toothpaste that'll do that. There's toothpaste that will provide some measure of whitening. If that's something that's important to you, then by all means, there are products that are safe and effective for that purpose. You certainly want a toothpaste that you like the taste of. I mean, you don't want to make toothbrushing an ordeal.
Right. So the whole key is getting you to brush and floss regularly, in your comfort space. Okay, so we know we also, speaking of that, I just want to put a big shout out. We have started the oral health campaign for this year's Fisher Cat season. So sons and daughters of Delta Dental subscribers, if you document for your participating dentist that you brush and floss in between visits, you can earn tickets to the Fisher Cats game at Northeast Delta Dental. Final lightning round question, sealants for kids.
Well, sealants are one of the most effective measures we have in preventing tooth decay. They reduce cavities by up to 80%, between 50 and 80% for sure. They do need to be checked up every year. And Northeast Delta Dental, by the way, for kids and adults who are at higher risk for tooth decay, we cover sealants not just for first and second molars like most dental plans, but we cover them for bicuspids and baby teeth as well. If the person is at higher risk for tooth decay.
And thank you for your leadership in that, as well as the Concord Sealant Coalition.